And welcome to a Friday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak Rusty Manziel. We got 2 hours on the Steakhouse. Thanks for being with us. The Odyssey app is always there for you. Listen all weekend long. Every big game, every big moment.
We're back, man. I had to fill in last week.
Let me tell you something. You did a great job.
I'll tell you this. That's not easy to do. I'm having to do reads. Like, I didn't sign up for that, dude. I talk about music. I throw a couple curveballs and jokes.
I wouldn't want to have to go try to recruit, figure out, you know, how many stars some outside linebacker is playing at Grayson, right? So we both have our gifts.
They actually have a five-star there, Tyler Atkinson, who I might have in studio, who's the number one player and number one
just
linebacker.
Just get Quincy Carter in studio. You said you're going to bring Quincy.
I can get Quincy.
You got to get Nick Chubb, right? We're going to chat with him. We should have David Andrews in
David's
studio, too.
You know, David has now moved to Rome, and he has a place in Boston, and he has his place in Rome.
So he's back and forth. I didn't know he was in Rome.
Oh, yeah, he's right. Like, he is literally 3 minutes from me.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. So he's going to be back and forth?
Back and forth.
Doesn't look like he's playing in the league next year, our buddy David Andrews?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
And he had come off. I remember last summer riding with him, and probably don't want to get in trouble, but his shoulder was kind of – he was trying to play through it then.
I mean, he's had a hell of a career, man.
Dude.
And he doesn't buy drinks if he's up in Boston. I promise you that. David Andrews, right?
Did he go into the Ring of Honor?
That's a great question.
He's a three-time captain, right?
Yeah, two-time Super Bowl winner.
Three-time team captain.
For the Super Bowls. But
dude, he should.
Yeah. I mean, he's right up there, man. He is right up there. Bob Kraft would make that decision.
Great guy.
One of the great damn good dogs, right?
No doubt, man.
Damn good dog for... Sure.
Got two little boys. He put a lake right there. Got it stocked with fish. I may or may not sneak in there and cast a lure.
He put
down
a lake in at his house?
It's got a lake there. It's a pond. It's not a lake. You're not riding jet skis on it. But
hey, I was thinking about this. We need to look at – well, you're so busy, man. You can't you don't have any time in those 18-week NFL season to do anything,
Zero
right?
Zero chance in football season. Zero.
Well, why can't you leave like on a Sunday?
I can on a Sunday.
All right, so what if we went and spent the night in Carolina or it's not going to be New Orleans, but like if we did a road trip.
That. I can do that. Yeah, I can do that.
Because we haven't talked about the NFL schedule. I haven't seen you on that, right, where the Falcons are.
I already have people asking me. This is how deep they're into their can I get you a favor, asking me for Bills tickets for Monday night.
Yeah, that's going to be – real tricky because there's.
You know what I do?
They're Buffalo fans, right?
Yeah, and you know what I say?
Falcons fans aren't asking for that
Rusty
game.
Rusty Mansell didn't play for the Buffalo Bills. Ken Irvin played for the Buffalo Bills.
Right, that's our buddy that was in studio.
He played 7-8 years the Bills.
That is the Monday night game way early in the season, which absolutely.
So they play September 28th, I believe. They have a 12-day bye because they play that Thursday game and they're off, and then they come back and play on Monday. It's like September 28th to like October 13th. It's a long time off for the Falcons.
So think about it. The Bills are only in Atlanta every 8 years, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Every 8 years. There's so many Buffalo folks who live here. Anyway, what's your Memorial Day weekend plan? Are you
My mom's coming up from Pensacola.
You just put that online asking folks about the weekend?
I did it on my Dogs HQ site. We got people going to Amelia Island. We got people going to St. Simon's. We got people going to the lake.
Unlike the Northeast, I don't know if you heard what's going on in the Northeast. It's mid-40s up in the New England, New York, whatever. Mid-40s,
yeah.
50. Like, it ain't the start of summer. It's absolutely the start of summer in the South. My kid had his last test yesterday, my middle schooler. Like, summer starts now in the South.
No doubt.
Which is why a lot of people have their – there's a lot of annual Memorial Day. I was talking to my buddy John Foy.
Community pools open, lakes, everything.
So, Jack, I'm not putting his business. John Foy is a big advertiser here and is a partner of ours. We were out filming the other day, and he says, yeah, I got a house on Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
And we do our – he's got, I think, four kids. Everyone brings four friends.
That's awesome.
And it's like –
you know what
just,
I call that? Stilling minutes.
Right. That's every Memorial Day.
And they'll do that. And you know what?
And he knows that it's like fully stock up for all. Now they're all 20-year-olds, and they're all bringing four or five friends. It's an annual
Lake Lanier
deal. So there's a lot of that going on this weekend.
Highlands. A lot of people are going to Highlands this weekend.
North Carolina and the Cashers. Those are the ones that got all that
Nobody up there is worried about their power bill.
Yeah.
That crowd.
Well, no doubt. So a lot of folks running around. We're going to be here all weekend. We're excited going to the Braves game on Sunday, which I think is a 4:15, right, Bo? 4:15 on Saturday and Sunday. And we got to look at, is that, sounds like it, or feels like it's a TV thing. Although they're playing a bunch of 4 o'clock games on the weekends that we'll update you on. But the Braves, we'll get to the 9-9 in a second. But it's a kind of a big series coming up. And obviously, return of Ronald Acuna. So that'll be a big TV thing over Memorial Day weekend. So we'll get into, you know, what folks have planned and where they're headed and what, you know, what is it? Lake Hartwell, Lake Burton, Oconee.
Lake Allatoona.
Yeah. They're all going to be rocking and rolling, right?
There will be some sunburn going on this weekend.
Well,
a lot of white meat out on the lake.
A lot of American flags, a lot of country music, and a lot of cold beer, right?
After watching the hunt for Osama bin Laden, probably going to hang a flag in my yard. I tried yesterday, a long shot. The guy that killed him, who does his own podcast, DM'd him yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
To see, hey, you want to be on the steakhouse?
Has he responded?
I ain't got a response.
So next Wednesday.
That's a bad dude now.
Next Wednesday, Dave Wilkinson is here. He was here once before. He is the gentleman that was sitting next to President Bush on Air Force One. He came in and told his story.
Yep.
We're going to have him in. And I said, watch American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden. It's trending number one show on Netflix right now.
I've watched it twice.
I said, watch it. And then when you come in, you'll tell us your own account of that. Yep. I wonder how folks feel, the Navy SEALs, about guys that go public and guys. Like, not all those guys on that group that got bin Laden
but if you remember
talk
the,
about
if you remember
it.
The quote in that where the guy goes, you just killed Osama bin Laden. And he goes, your life just changed.
Right.
Like that. I mean.
Because he was the one.
He was the one.
But I think some of them don't feel like. I don't know.
Some of them are still in.
Right. So they can't talk.
Some can't talk.
Yeah. That. If you had,
you also, too, now, don't discount this. Like, it's a threat, man. Like, you put yourself out there.
Right.
Some terrorists come for you.
Right. Well, you know, it's like great filmmaking at any level. And then there's awful filmmaking. This is great filmmaking because it's great storytelling. It's the whole background of how we got into it, why bin Laden was an ally and everything else. So it's three episodes as opposed to the utter trash. I'm not going to go into it again.
I didn't even watch it because you
– The Brett Favre.
What you said, I didn't watch it.
So lazy. The baby Sophie was here. How disappointed were we with the Brett Favre, right?
It was horrible, to say the least.
Once y'all two – killed it.
Wanted to see football, right?
It was just the girl, the whole thing. It should have just been whatever her name was. It should have just been called that,
right?
Instead of
Brett Favre. It was just lazy filmmaking. That's what bothers me.
It was only 53 minutes, right?
I know.
I mean,
right?
She was like 45 of them.
Yeah, she was. Like, yeah, it felt like
could have done 10 episodes of Brett Favre.
I'm Judd Brett Favre, right?
You could have done a whole hour of Brett Favre and Buckhead.
But you didn't. You didn't even talk about why the Falcons moved him not at all. You didn't talk about his playing for the Jets or playing for Minnesota. We'll talk about that later on. But if you're wondering who the voice was, the baby Sophie, it's bring your daughter to your final week of shows because I'm not going anywhere. She's going to Europe all summer, so she wanted to come in. We were hoping to get Kaylee, but she has a real job.
She has a real job.
This one's a college student.
Kaylee want me to relay to you that she heard yesterday that you and Sandra said she is 0-for-1 in her UGA.
She went to Missouri.
And I told her, I said, listen, now there's no slam dunk. This guy's going to Georgia. Pop's going to stay in Rome and watch that one.
She went
to see Jared Curtis the week before, and he committed to Georgia. She wanted to let you know she is 1-for-2.
Oh, okay. She's 1-1.
She's letting you
know. So when she went to see Jared Curtis in Nashville.
He committed to Georgia.
He's a damn good dog.
She went to Bass Pro Shops in Missouri, and it didn't work.
Yeah. You hear what Sandra nicknamed him?
They can't win
because he's going to Miami, right?
Oh, boy.
All right, not a good night for the Braves. Horrible night for the Braves. They leave Boston after taking 2 out of 3, winning that Sunday game, and you felt pretty good. They were over 500, then they lose 2 in a row to the Nationals. 8-7, the final. Dylan Lee gives it up in the 10th inning, but the story was A.J. Smith-Shawver, 7 runs, 3 innings, a terrible start.
Stake, the season starts today. You get Ronald Acuna back. You got Spencer Strider. Here's where I'll tell you. I'll give my Friday update every Friday. This time, last week, they were 6 games back. Now they're 7.5 back. They're 24-25, below 500. All that matters now is who you are as a team. They're in that dugout. The season starts tonight.
Ronald Acuna, we'll talk about him next segment quite a bit.
Yeah, we'll see.
I hope so. Hey, the Atlanta Dream welcomed Caitlin Clark to State Farm Arena. Fever beat him 81-76. Great crowd. Looked like a sellout. You watched it.
It was completely sold out. I'll tell you this. Obviously, a lot of eyes on Caitlin Clark, but I will say for our city and this team, the Atlanta Dream are really, really good. They're really good. They gave the Fever all they wanted for two games in a row. Beat them in Indianapolis, come back and lose. Caitlin Clark, 11 points. First time stake since her sophomore year at Iowa. She did not hit a three in a game. She was 42 straight games in WNBA hitting a three.
It's 140 overall.
Yes.
Where Caitlin Clark had made a three. She did not make one last night. She was 0 for 5. Meanwhile,
he comes in last night, puts on a shift defensively. They're Kirby Smart.
Dude, they just lock down.
They will suffocate you.
And then when they get on those breaks,
dude,
they're athletic. They are.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Indiana, Nick, doesn't matter.
Totally agree.
Everybody's getting in line to get a paddling.
I think the NBA title is going through Oklahoma City, man.
How about that?
Didn't think we'd say that.
Good for them.
And think about when they traded all those guys from James Harden and Kevin Durant.
They've been good by the draft.
Do you know how many more number ones they have?
Yeah.
Do you know how many more number ones they have coming up?
How many?
Like seven. Georgia softball will be where?
They play Florida at 11 a.m. this morning. First game of Super Regional. My girl Lindy Ray Davis with a massive hit last week. Game on the line, season on the line against Duke. 1-1 in the seventh. She comes up and ties the game up. Give them hell today, Lindy.
All right, real quick, Georgia Tech also over Cal, 10-3. Good for Danny Hall. Seven home runs for the Jackets. They're in the semis on Saturday. Winner of Clemson, NC State, 1 o'clock start. Danny Hall's dream season continues. When we come back, the greatest return in your sports fandom. Do you remember who it was? I'll tell you, and it won't surprise you one bit. He wore number 7 for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk about what it's like when your guy comes back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:24. You're listening to the number one sports talk radio show in the city, and that's the Steakhouse. My name is Steak. That's Rusty Manziel. Thanks so much for being with us, and wishing you a great Memorial Day weekend. Ronald Acuna comes back tonight. The Roars will be unbelievable. The Acuna jerseys will be plentiful, and it's what's the weather looking like all weekend? I'm hearing mixed bag on Sunday or what?
Tomorrow's good. Friday's, today's perfect. Monday's, you're going to be.
Sunday. I'm asking
Sunday's
about Sunday.
Sunday's 50-50. A little bit of cloud, a little bit of rain. Monday's not.
I'm fine. I've sat. We got some nice seats.
You'll be fine Sunday.
Those day games, man. Is that? I got to learn more. Maybe Braves will tell us what the 4 o'clock starts are about. But Acuna tonight.
This is prime time.
Do you know that the Padres.
Six in a row. I heard it on the broadcast.
They
night.
Have lost six straight. They lose three in a row at home to Seattle.
Then they go to Toronto and get swept.
Yeah, so they were home. Then they come over here to go to Toronto. They scored 5 runs in 3 games.
The same team.
5 runs in 3 games.
With.
Yeah, the team that just buried us.
Annihilated us.
Right? So I don't like the Padres to lose 8 or 9 in a row. I just don't. They got a lot of talent, and they have been sleeping. I think they lose an extra innings yesterday. But they lose like 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. They lose 14-0. They lose 2-0. Like, they've had a horrendous 6 games. And you look at the Padres lineup and you go, how does that happen? So I don't – listen, I'm not going to make too much of getting a team at a good time or a bad time or any of that. I'm just going to say that the Braves, like – Rusty, I like what you said. The season starts tonight. Spencer Strider is going to throw next week, obviously, because they're all pushed back because of the rain. So he's not going to throw Sunday. He's here. Acuna's here. This is the lineup you've been waiting for. You're hovering around 500. Alex Anthopoulos joined us earlier in the week. He told you there's a lot better teams right now in the National League that you didn't expect to be this good. Mm-hmm. There are teams that were not in the playoffs last year. It's a much more competitive league, so they have got work to do. I was thinking about returns. There's nothing like when your fans have been separated from your favorite player for a while.
Your star.
And I was thinking about the all-time example of that in my lifetime. Mm. And, you know, if you root for a team from whatever town you're in, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, you have those return from injury moments. I don't know if there was a city that has ever appreciated watching somebody return to the field the way Atlanta did in 2003 when Michael Vick, remember, he didn't miss the whole season with that broken leg. He comes back week 14 against the Carolina Panthers and rushes. Think about this. Comes off the broken leg. Do you know what he did in that game?
Tell me.
Do you remember it?
I remember the game, but I don't know the stats.
141 yards rushing, the third highest total by a quarterback in NFL history. They score on a return from Kevin Mathis, interception return from Jake Delhomme in overtime. On a Saturday night in Atlanta, the Falcons beat the Panthers 20-14. It was only their third win of the year. So Michael Vick was intercepted at the two-yard line to deny a chance to win in regulation, but they got the ball first in overtime, and the Panthers gave it up, and we won the game. So imagine waiting for his return. As a city that absolutely was in love with Michael Vick, who took you to the playoffs in the NFC, they win the game in Green Bay. You talk about Brett Favre.
Yep.
First team to ever win a playoff game in Green Bay.
What about Jordan coming back from baseball?
I got to remember what game it was. I saw Jordan here score 50, and I think it was his return. Well, there's a couple of Jordan moments. There's the Georgia Dome game with 60,000 people, and then there was the game at Phillips Arena where he think he hit a buzzer beater or something and beat the Hawks. But, yes, there's no city bigger than Michael Jordan getting back on the court.
The entire world watched that.
Right.
The entire world.
Yeah, that's a different deal. You got a game?
I would say Todd Gurley coming back in 2014 after a four-game suspension.
The hype before the season.
Yep.
Todd Gurley, obviously one of the great tailback recruits in the history of Georgia.
Yep.
And then that silly shirt signing car agent
thing. He got paid $1,500 for signing some helmets in a guy's car. Unfortunately, that dude was from – well, he wasn't from Rome. He had a little side shop in Rome, an autograph place.
Yeah.
Gurley rushed that day, 29 carries, 138 yards on a touchdown. What I remember the most, unfortunately, that's the game he tore his ACL and his career was done at Georgia, but the opening kickoff, they kick it to Todd Gurley. My man housed it. That was a penalty. He takes it back. Little side
that's
note,
the first
little,
time
little
he
side note in that game. True freshman, Nick Chubb, goes 19 rushes for 144 yards. So between Nick Chubb and Todd Gurley, they rushed for over 300. Yeah, Nick Chubb was a freshman, 19 carries, 144. Along with, listen now, Todd Gurley had 29 carries for 138, 34-7 win over Auburn. Yeah.
Isn't that just the classic sports moment, though, that all the hype, all the excitement, it reminds me of the Aaron Rodgers, but that was the all-timer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear for 4 months the hype around Aaron Rodgers, and he lasts one play, and he's done. And he
one
has
pass, yeah.
Yeah.
He handed it off in the second, first time he dropped back, yep.
So Todd Gurley, all this hype around his return, he has this incredible moment, and then he tears his ACL in that game,
late.
His final moment at the University of Georgia.
It was one of those deals where they kept showing his mom and dad and how happy they were. He was back, and he was playing good, dude. And then when he went down his knee, you saw him grab for it, and you see his mom. And I remember his dad holding had his hand over his mouth, and then they bring him down to the field. But damn good dog, man. Had a great NFL career.
Well.
And he's chilling. Got 30 million. What do you got? 33 million, I think, guaranteed on that second contract.
He only played 6 years in the National Football League, Todd Gurley, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a rookie year when he was for St. Louis. That was the last year the Rams were ever in St. Louis. Todd Gurley had an 1,100 yards, 10 touchdown season. 2 years later with the Rams, he had a 13 touchdown season, 1,300 yards. And in 2018 with the Rams, Todd Gurley had 17 touchdowns and 1,200 yards. And that was basically it for him. His final year was in Atlanta. That was a bad situation in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He still had 9 touchdowns, but he had nothing left. Averaged 3.5. So he just never really was right after a couple of years in the NFL, right?
That knee injury kind of messed him up too. And, you know, the dude got, what, $35 million? Like, he reset the running back market. And I watched Todd Gurley. This dude's a huge soccer fan.
Soccer
loves racing. Like, this dude is living his best life.
Yeah. Where's he living?
I think L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, I think LA.
So I'm just thinking, and I'll probably put it out there on social media, is there a game or a moment we're turning? Because those are those classic moments, you know, when the conquering, you know, son returns.
Yep.
When, you know, you're talking best player type scenarios. I know following Tom Brady, obviously he misses. He's in the middle of winning Super Bowls. He's a 25-year-old, 24-year-old. He gets the ACL in the first game of the year, misses the entire year, and then he comes back the following year.
Nick Chubb shredding his knee against Tennessee in 2015.
Dude, one of the worst moments.
And then coming back in 2016, Kirby Smart's first game against North Carolina. And again, that's his business, but he talks about it in this documentary that he did that they'll release soon, he and Sony. And he talks about, you know, look, I kind of came back too early, but my adrenaline was flowing, and I wanted to play for Georgia, and I wanted to play for Kirby. So he came back and still had a 100-yard game, had a touchdown to put that game out of reach at the end.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very, very exciting to watch Ronald Acuna in that first, you know,
find out where Nick Chubb's going to be after June 1st. I'm telling you.
What's his vibe right now, Nick Chubb?
He is working his ass off. Like, this dude is obsessed. Like, every day.
Well, he always. That's who Nick Chubb is, though, no?
No. I know some people there. This dude has got some juice to him.
My only point was he's a workout.
The Browns drafted two running backs.
Right.
Don't think. You remember when Michael Jordan said that George Karl didn't talk to him in a restaurant, and that's all he had to have? The Browns drafted two running backs, and don't think Nick Chubb's quitting. I'm telling you, man. After June 1st,
my only
kind of got an inkling where he's going to go.
He's a workout.
That's his business.
He's a workout maniac to begin with.
The rest of his life, but I'm telling you, he is on another level right now. Did you see that video where he jumped his head and popped the ceiling with his head?
No,
that's a 9-foot ceiling. Dude touched you with his head.
Damn. You need to show me that.
Yeah, you'll like that.
You know where he's going to go, you think?
I got an inkling.
All right. You're not going to tell us, all right?
I'm not going to. It's not his business.
All right. When we come back, this is really big news from college football. I probably should have led with it, but there is all kinds of stuff happening.
Oh, Lord.
If you're a fan of Georgia, Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, like the whole world of the SEC and the playoffs is changing, and there's all kinds of stuff on the table. The SEC championship game may not be the only two SEC teams playing that
weekend,
right?
Could be a hell of a weekend.
We'll do that when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak and Rusty. I'm trying to figure out we're going to do a little buy or sell. The baby Sophie's floating around here as well.
Involved.
You can handle that. We got Rusty Rocks coming up. And we said, when I'm told, Sophie, by Rusty, you better give it enough time today. He doesn't always say that.
The only person in this building, there's two people in this building that know what it is. It's Sandra and Bo that know what the topic is today.
Bo, how do you feel? Sophie, you know your mom. That's the only time she really listens to the show is if it's Rusty Rocks.
I know. She cares about nothing else.
She loves Rusty.
Every family has a five-star.
Who doesn't love Rusty?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love Rusty?
Everybody loves Rusty.
I don't know about that.
She does care about other things. Don't say that. Don't get in trouble with Mom. We want to keep her in the right side of the right mood.
Listen,
all
every family
long.
Has a five-star.
All right. What meaning?
You're about a 4.5.
Okay. I know it.
Sophie, you know when you say, like, the potential to be that superstar?
Yeah.
I see it there.
Do you?
High ceiling.
Uh-huh.
She's spending the summer in Europe. I tried to explain to her, and I really showed my age. Do you remember European vacation? I asked her, I said, have you seen the Chevy? I asked Sophie, I said, Sophie, have you seen the Chevy Chase vacation movie? She goes, no. And I'm like,
do you even know who Chevy Chase
I've
is?
I've never heard of that ever.
Yeah. Okay.
He's an original cast member.
He's Christmas Vacation. You've never seen Christmas
No,
Vacation?
I don't know what that is.
No, wow! Look at this.
Dad doesn't show me Christmas Vacation.
That's so not true.
It was like Hanukkah Vacation.
No,
like,
not true.
You need to see Christmas Vacation. True. That's like Bo Johnson never seeing Top Gun. Like, I mean, God.
Everybody has their movie that they've never seen. That's embarrassing. Mike Johnson has like 1,000 of them.
Godfather for me.
What's
Godfather.
Yours?
Godfather.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord!
But Christmas Vacation's the best Christmas movie that's ever been created.
And even, no, I've seen that. So let me get to whole topic. Anyway, I was like, have you seen Vacation? She goes, no. And I thought, oh, God. Well, there's a scene in European Vacation where they're going. And remember, the son's Rusty, and he's sitting on the plane, and they're playing Some Like It Hot, and he's dreaming about all these bars and clubs he's going to go to. Go on the back of his jacket, and it's in sequence, and it says Rusty, the European Tour.
Oh,
I
yeah.
wanted one of those. I was like, I got
to
get
Somebody had to get you that. Big Ben.
Dude.
Big Ben Parliament. Big Ben Parliament.
Hey, look, kids. Big Ben Parliament.
Hey, we got a lot to get to, obviously. There's all kinds of a shakeup, possibly, in the college football world. So let's not waste any time. Let's get to the tailgate.
Big changes in college football. Obviously, the only one that is signed right now is the 12-team seeding for 2025.
Yeah, that was decided on yesterday. It has been approved that, again, it will be a 12-team playoff, but it will not look like it did last year. Remember last year, the highest-ranked conference champion gets an automatic bye. What did that mean in 2024, it meant Boise State out of the Mountain West got a bye, and Arizona State out of the Big 12. Now, obviously, that has SEC fans sitting there going, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Boise State gets a bye, and yes. Arizona State gets a bye for real?
Here's what last year would have looked like. Top four seeds would have been Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State. Georgia would have played the winner of Tennessee and SMU. Oregon would have played the winner of Indiana and Boise State as 8-9 seeds. So a lot of different things. Here's where it gets kind of questionable stuff.
Well, at least you have a game. Let me just say something about that first weekend, what it would have looked like last year. You would have had Indiana host a game against Boise State.
Yeah.
And I think you saw
– competitive?
Yeah. I think you saw that Indiana wasn't ready for prime time.
Yep.
I think SMU also would have traveled to Tennessee. Also a more reasonable matchup, right?
100%.
As opposed to putting the big dogs
Indiana
in a position
at Notre Dame.
Right. And then what was the other
SMU,
massive?
I think Clemson.
Yeah, SMU play. Throws like three picks in the first quarter or something ridiculous, and that was a blowout. So, yeah, it'll look a lot different this
Ross
year.
Ross Dillinger of Yahoo does a great job covering this, good friend of mine. He stays on top of this. He's at all the meetings. Likely to happen, not signed, likely to happen, which is going to happen. 16 teams in 2026. Most people think it's going to be the 4-4-2-2-1 model. What does that mean? SEC, four teams. Big Ten, four teams. The ACC stake, two teams. Big 12, two. And group of six, one. The outlier here is what Notre Dame does to this. The outlier is the only two conference teams, the only two teams that are locked in long term for conference championships are the SEC and the Big Ten. So will the ACC continue to have an ACC championship, which you and I both agree is not the sexiest of games, hasn't been well attended, it's cold, it's in Charlotte.
Yeah, there's no reason that the ACC gets better. But can you go back for a second?
Yep.
So you're talking about how many teams then in the new
16 would be 4-4-2-2-1. That's four SEC, four Big Ten.
That's eight.
Two ACC.
That's 10.
Two Big 12.
Yeah, now we're at 12.
Yeah, and then a group of six.
That's 13, though.
Well, where are the other three coming from in that?
Right.
At large. So Notre Dame's obviously in.
Uh-huh.
And so the at-large would be, that's all be determined.
So the guarantee is that SEC gets four. Now, okay.
Doesn't mean it won't get six.
So that's what I was confused by.
No, no, no.
Won't
mean
so won't that's get six. Where the ACC.
The four guarantees, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And listen, that means the ACC would have a chance.
The SEC's getting five on the worst year, I'm telling you.
Right.
They're getting
I totally agree. Yeah. But it allows, listen, the ACC's sitting there, you know, holding the bag going, hello, when did we become lesser than? Well, you became lesser than on the field, and you became lesser than off the field when all the money pours in from the networks to the Big Ten and the SEC. Mm. All that revenue suggests that they control moving forward the relationship with the networks. It also means if you follow the last few years of college football, that's where the best college football teams are. The SEC can stick their nose up at it.
By the way, they added Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC.
Right. And
just two small products.
Well, the Big Ten obviously adding USC and UCLA and Oregon.
By the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're adding powerhouses as well. But getting back to the notion of the 16-team playoff. So I want you to envision this, kids. that there is an SEC title game that's getting played, which will absolutely develop a double bye for the winner. They will not play.
Yep.
They're not going to play.
So the winner goes to the quarterfinals.
Yes. Yep. So as it stands now, there'd be an opening weekend where 13 plays 16, 14 plays 15. Then the next weekend, everybody plays except the top two seeds. One of those top seeds is the winner of the SEC title. So now you're convincing the SEC that winning that game will mean enough to get you right to the quarterfinals a week down the road.
Yesterday, my first reaction, I heard you and Sandra talk about it, was those are dead man walking. There's too much money involved in that game. So it's great for the city of Atlanta because we've got that locked in. That contract with ESPN, they're not trying to get rid of the SEC championship. They're trying to add SEC games.
So that would look like both teams in the SEC title game get in. Then there is four more teams that compete.
Those two winners would be the other two at large.
Right.
So,
but then
like last year, it probably been like Ole Miss versus Alabama winners in a game like that, that scenario. Tennessee, who got an at-large bid, may play – like Tennessee may play Texas A&M. Remember, Texas A&M was the winner of that game's in.
So the notion would be there would be these three big SEC games on SEC championship weekend, and then
– how about if they did this? What if they did it in Atlanta and, like, Alabama Ole Miss played Friday night, and then they did doubleheader on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, you're messing with the SEC weekend, right?
Yeah,
you got to paint the end zones. You got to have the press conference.
Yeah.
You got to make it special if you're going to do it here in Atlanta. But listen, if you're really – you think it's going to a nine-game SEC schedule, which is what people are saying.
They're fighting it. But,
ESPN is offering – what are they offering?
Too much money. At some point, it's going to nine.
I think it's
like $80 million more or something.
I think $100 million more to play
one more game
SEC week,
right?
Yep. But then you're asking somebody to play nine games, then playing an SEC game or this play-in game as well, and then get into the tournament. I just think that gauntlet is – something has to give. You're not playing nine SEC games and rolling into a play-in weekend with an SEC title game. And the ACC championship game has never meant anything to begin with, right? And the ACC can sit here and go, well, what if Florida State returns to glory? What if Miami, is a powerhouse? Clemson is ranked one or two coming into this year, right?
I'm going to tell you something. This is a prime year for Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech is saying, what do you mean only the top two out of the ACC? But that's where those at-larges are.
Yep.
Go get wins out of conference. If you're Georgia Tech, that might mean beating Georgia. Is that crazy? I don't know. They had 10 chances to beat Georgia last year. Mm-hmm. So that could mean a Tech gets in as an at-large. Or Carolina, if Bill Belichick gets it going. So the ACC, will have to deal with the fact you're a redheaded stepchild. You're not one of the 4-4 in Big Ten and SEC. Listen, there's too much money in the playoff system, and there's not enough gravitas to these title games other than the SEC. Even the Big Ten game doesn't register. Rusty, do you remember one Big Ten championship game that matter, other than maybe there was a huge upset there years ago that threw off the national title search? They play it in Indianapolis.
Yes,
it's not something that folks know about. Usually, it's a
their game of value is at 12 o'clock on Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
Ohio State,
exactly
Michigan.
Right, biggest game in the world, right?
Yep.
And then those regular season night games at Penn State. Right?
Yep.
Now you add Oregon and USC. The Big Ten has plenty to offer.
How about the Big Ten championship when Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0 to get themselves back in the playoffs and then won the national championship with Cardale Jones? That's the most recent one I can remember that was that relevant.
I think there was another one where something like that happened that threw off the somebody was trying to get in.
You're thinking about 2007 when West Virginia beat Pitt and everybody thought Georgia was going to get in, and they didn't get in.
But that wasn't a Big Ten title
game. It wasn't a Big Ten, but that was a conference game that threw everything off.
Right.
Everybody thought Georgia's going to get in and wind up being LSU with two losses.
Joe, any more Big Ten title games you remember at all? I remember Northwest.
I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't really remember that. I mean, at least the ones that had implications.
So every time Ohio State's in that game, it's a lousy blowout game.
It's a pit stop.
Typically.
Yeah.
Or the winner is just already kind of in.
And let me ask you this. Is that appointment travel for any Ohio State or Michigan fan or –
I think it is because it's proximal. It's pretty drivable. Easy drive to get there from those places.
It may not be anymore because you're going to have three more destinations.
Exactly.
That's what happened to the SEC championship. Those Texas fans were like, "We're not coming back there."
Yeah.
Because we might be coming back there in a month.
Which is exactly what happened.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. What
Texas
happened.
Wanted three games in Atlanta. They only got two. Right.
Yeah, and I think if you're a college football fan, you'd rather take a trip to some other place to see your team play on the road or something, other aside from going to a dome stadium to see
it's just not. Which, by the way, we haven't really talked about. You know, of all that college football playoff, which really did not early rounds, I'd argue there weren't really many good games to begin with. The best game of them all was Arizona State and Texas. That was here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That was the game. I know my family. That was the game we were all sitting around later in the day and watching Arizona State make that run. And, like, that was the game of the playoffs. That was in Atlanta. You get the national title game in Atlanta. You got the SEC title game in Atlanta, which was the Carson Beck hands off with one arm on the goal line, right?
So, you think about the Mercedes-Benz and big games. Obviously, you got to go to the Alabama second 26. I was there. Georgia, Ohio State. I was there. Georgia, Texas this year. I mean, there's been some great college football games.
Well, I remember covering Tim Tebow in the SEC title. I remember covering Peyton Manning in the SEC title. I remember LSU, Georgia a couple of times.
Did I ever tell you about the 97 Auburn, Tennessee SEC championship? I was with some guys, some buddies. We took the wrong elevator after the game, and we landed in the Tennessee press conference. I'm talking about doors open, Archie Manning standing there, and we're like, hey, Arch.
You're in the wrong place.
And we had been in an open bar suite.
Okay.
Yeah, we were right when we got in that elevator somehow.
The most dominant performance I've ever watched on a college football field was the Joe Burrow LSU Georgia SEC title game, which unfortunately is also when the kid broke his
Dom Blaylock towards ACL.
The second play of the game. He caught a pass.
Pickens was suspended the first half.
Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. I have never seen
a defense
have less of a chance.
You know what's ironic about that? They absolutely shredded Georgia that day. 2 years later, all those guys won the national championship on defense. That was Trayvon Walker and all those guys. They were all freshmen.
Right.
But
that was their baptism.
That was a grown ass. When Georgia dialed up a blitz and Trayvon Walker was one on one with Joe Burrow, and he juked him and then throws a bomb, I knew right then it's time to enjoy being here.
Even if coverage was absolutely perfect,
they were unbelievable.
Joe Burrow was putting it in place.
I've never seen
an offense where I literally said, and this is Georgia,
yeah,
they have no chance of stopping that team.
It was a wrap. Right. I would like to see the 21 defense play them, but that 2019 defense.
He was on
it
that.
Was, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Hey, we'll talk some Falcons. Smoking Joe Patrick's here. We got a busy week in Flowery Branch. We haven't heard you talk Pennix lately. I haven't heard you talk schedule. We got all that stuff coming up.
We got all summer, baby.
All right.
I'm pumped. I'm listening. I'm drinking.
You're back in.
I'm drinking.
You're back in, right?
We're January. We're tailgating. Everybody's going streaking, baby.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .10:03, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Rusty Manziel. We're going to be talking Atlanta Falcons with Smoking Joe Patrick is here helping us out as he does back end of every week. And we'll get to that coming up. Rusty Manziel is here. Well, Rusty rocks. We'll play buy or sell. There's a reason we are the number one radio sports station in the Southeast. And hopefully on a Friday when you get ready for Memorial Day weekend and all the family time and friends and all the things that come with the end of school and kind of like ushering into summer, I think you'll see a big theme over the next hour in our particular program as well. So it's busy stuff. We should review real quick. Caitlin Clark runs through Atlanta last night with the Indiana Fever. They beat us, but Caitlin Clark doesn't have a great night. She goes 0-for-5 from 3. But the Fever beat us by, I guess it was
four or five points.
Yeah. Yep.
I tell you what now, the Fever, Day-Day was here. He would give you but I was very impressed with them. Brittany Griner, obviously, I think she got a foul late in the game that caused her to get fouled her out. But she is definitely, they're different defensively. Ryan Howard, I will say this.
She went off last night.
She was all over Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. 81-76 Fever win. Horrible 2 days in Washington. Not only get rained out in the in-between game, but then you lose both of the bookend losses.
Freezing cold.
Dude, I told you, the weather is awful. Did you hear Billy O'Brien yesterday at all?
That was great.
Yeah, he was fun, right?
He gave you a hamburger plug at the end and sandwiches.
I mean, listen, I've arrived. My poor family is so tired. We were at dinner last night. I was like, listen, the head coach of Boston College said that my burger reviews are his favorite thing. What else matters?
You know,
it's actually talking football. I was like, well, why would I want to do that? But he was great talking about Georgia Tech.
Dude, talking about the Ralph Reed and all them. I tell you where I know he's a professional. Because he played Georgia without his two best receivers, and he still was like, you know what? They beat us, and there's the cards you dealt with. He could have easily went into, we beat them.
Mention who was out for Alabama.
Mechie and Jamison Williams.
Both in the national title. I never heard him talk about coaching against Georgia before, which is why I was excited, mm-hmm. and how much I thought for them it was a bad draw to try to beat Georgia again a few weeks later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they knew after that. They knew after the Cincy. I guarantee you they would never say this publicly. They put in a little bit for Cincy. They were working on Georgia well again before that game.
That's an enormous thing to overcome.
I was screaming through the mic at you with a George Gotsi scramble. That was in Athens.
He corrected me.
And I know, but I'll say this. That play, pretty much, that was the end of Jim Donnan. That game. That play. You got a guy that can run an 8.5 40.
I know. It's a great point. We were reminiscing about he was running, well, whatever he was, quarterback's coach at the time.
It was Veer. They could not – they could not
– How about how he described –
man block those guys one-on-one.
How about Stroud and Seymour
– Angles.
Losing – multiple years in a row to Georgia Tech saying we knew we couldn't block them, so it was all about scheme and angles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you saying, because I enjoyed having Billy on.
It was great,
on.
Man.
Yeah, so that's part of it as well. But let's ask Smoke and Joe. A lot of activity in Flowery Branch this week, for sure.
There's been a lot going on. We got to talk to all the coaches and coordinators this week. And I wanted to drill down a little bit more on something we were talking about yesterday, Stake, which was Jeff Ulbrich kind of talking about how to – combat these modern offenses, especially given how much they're changing, even week to week sometimes. And he would say it better than I would. And he's got a cool story about Kyle Shanahan here. So let's hear Ulbrich.
We used to have playbooks.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have hard-bound playbooks. And I remember when I got to the 49ers in 2000, they gave me this book that was that thick. And I was like, oh my gosh. I remember calling my wife and being like, this is going to be a short stay. I'm not going to be able to pick all this up, you know. And those days are gone. I saw it in 2015 when I had Kyle Shanahan coming into my office all the time, like, okay, what is the buzz player taught here? What is the weak hook player taught here? Mm-hmm. What is the read corner taught here? He was going to that place of, rather than his dad's book of like, I'm playing a cover three team, here's my three beaters.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, all right, what are your rules in cover three?
Yeah.
And he wanted to learn all the rules. And then it was like, I'm going to beat you in a way you've never been beaten.
So that's the way these modern offenses are trying to scheme up, you know, how to win, basically. And, you know, they can be exotic. They can be, you know, these designer plays that are, like, specifically against certain opponents. And that's what these defensive coordinators are really trying to combat now. And and Ulbrich lays it out here in another clip, the last one we'll play, where he basically describes that there's two ways to go about it.
It makes it way more difficult for us, but that's where I always go. Like, there's two ways to approach that.
Right.
Defensively, I can say, I'm just going to throw chaos back at you.
Right.
And some people do that, and that works for a lot of people, but I don't feel good about that. Like, the ex-player in me wants to, like, when a player comes to the sideline, if we got beat, like, I need to give him an explanation, exactly what happened and how we fix it, period. And if I can't do that, that's a fireable offense, as far as I'm concerned. And if I'm just throwing chaos at you, I can't give you the answer all the time,
right,
because I don't necessarily know what the answer is.
Right.
So they get more complex. In my opinion, we get simpler.
So what does that mean, chaos? Does that mean throwing blitzes, you know, having corners come? Having, you know,
exactly.
Putting five,
confusion.
Six, right?
Exactly. Confusion, blitzes, confusion. These exotic
and
coverage
he's saying
schemes.
That's not the way to beat sophisticated offenses.
I think that's not the way that he prefers to play. In fact, this lines up with something that he was saying shortly after the draft, which is, and I think it's kind of a humbling statement from a defensive coordinator, but he said, you look around the best defenses in the NFL, they're just the ones that win their one-on-one matchups most of the time. If you look at the Baltimore Ravens, they win up front. That's why they're good.
You know what I call that? Out-athleting someone.
Yeah. Well,
can you be a better athlete?
Think about the advantage.
Jalen Carter,
when you rush,
even interior,
when you
is a better athlete than the guy in front of him.
When you're rushing four guys, getting home with four, or when you have an
dream,
interior guy.
Dream.
So remember what happens when you're rushing on the interior, come on right up the middle. You're immediately getting the quarterback off his spot. And if you're doing that with three or four guys, because, you know, listen, obviously you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position if you think you're going to keep running these creative blitz schemes, which really is kind of a desperation move, right? Yeah. The Eagles didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and I think that this is what frustrated some of the Falcons players last year in Jimmy Lake's scheme is that, the players feel like they can't play as fast as they want to. They can't just react to what's in front of them like they want to when you have this complicated rule set that they're thinking about following. And so I think Ulbrich and something that he's trying to bring to this defense is a more simplified version of it. So that these players can just go out and not think.
Yeah, just be solid.
Yeah.
Right? My vision of the Falcons defense, honestly, from last year, Rusty and Joe, is just these bizarre big plays of our corners getting spun around.
Couldn't get off the field on third down.
The Sam Darnold game,
yeah,
where for every Jesse Bates moment, there was the rest of that secondary just like running backwards, falling down, giving up 40, 50-yard plays against, you know, J.J. McCarthy, what he did to them, what Bryce Young did to them, what Sam Darnold. That's not Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. Think about what we said. Those three guys literally had a field day.
Yeah, down the stretch, it got ugly at times. You're totally right, Steak. And I think that, honestly, one of the other things that was frustrating was just how soft they were with the coverage schemes. And this team allowed the highest quarterback opponent's completion percentage in the NFL, which I think says a lot about.
We were 32nd.
Yeah, yes.
In the NFL.
Listen, we can all those numbers mean things, but when you don't have pass rush and that quarterback has time to process, you're going to get beat in the NFL.
Yeah. And how is he going to utilize, first of all, the two rookie first-rounders? How are they going to be utilized? Mm-hmm. How many snaps are we talking about, right?
Yeah.
What can you expect from them? And then is there, and you tell me.
Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd, right? Mm-hmm. Is there somebody that starts to emerge on the defense that has been here, that's a high draft pick, that is up front for us on the defensive side, that you go, well, that's kind of what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this response from Ulbrich was where I had asked him about comments that Ben Johnson had made, saying that in the past, the best predictor of who was going to win a game was turnover margin. Turnovers were key, and now the biggest predictor of who's going to win a given game is whichever team has the highest passing EPA, which is basically whichever team passed the ball better. And to Rusty's point, how do you get a team to have worse passing numbers? You sack the quarterback. That's basically maybe the better indicator. The team with the higher passing EPA in a given game wins 80% of the time.
Yeah, well, listen, it couldn't have ended worse on the defensive side. We're not on five national games because of what we think defensively.
No. They didn't look at James Pierce and Jalen Walker. Right. Let's get them guys on
right.
five. No,
and it's not that people don't think Jalen Walker can play. They're not worried about him. James Pierce definitely. 60 to 70% of folks will say that was a reach. I don't have a strong feeling either way, other than, you know, what Rusty, the guys you've talked to, said he is absolutely a problem.
Hell on wheels.
But we've got five national games for Michael Penix and Bijan and Drake London more than anything else. Those three guys. And has Bijan become now the face of the National Football League if we are a 10-win team, right?
Yeah.
10-11-win team.
Yeah, and you're totally right. That's why they got all these primetime games, is because they have this continuity on offense with these special players. And I think we haven't gotten to talk to the players yet, but I did ask Zach Robinson about this. I think that they feel like they have a point to prove and they need to establish themselves on the national stage.
I mean, they've got real depth at the wide receiver position. I mean, we can talk all you want about Kyle Pitts. You know, it's kind of like the crazy girlfriend. It's like when they show you who they are, believe them, right? You know, she was fine at that dinner party a couple of times, but eventually they're going to go back to who they are. And who Kyle Pitts is, I'm sorry, is a guy that sometimes doesn't look like he's that passionate about the game of football.
Zach Robinson mentioned what he wants to see from Kyle is mastery of the offense, which, you know, in your fourth year, it's telling about where his head is at.
Fifth year, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Fifth year. So, again, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Brock Bauer had the greatest rookie tight end year of all time, right? Has anybody ever had those numbers as a rookie? And I who threw him the football?
Me.
For 17 games?
Me.
So please stop telling me that Kyle Pitts didn't have the right guy throwing him the ball. Brock Bowers had Desmond Ridder. Now, no team in the NFL would ever start Desmond Ridder, right? Right? Okay. When we come back, Rusty rocks. Also, we're going to buy or sell with the baby Sophie and Rusty later. Got lots more on a big Memorial Day return for Ronald Acuna. And the most important person at your Memorial Day barbecue. It's all coming up. Sports Radio 99 The Game. He's got good pipes.
Oh, yeah.
You know who? Hey, it's 1023 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some would argue the best part of the show is still on the way. Rusty rocks.
Mm.
Also, buy or sell. The baby Sophie is here.
Put out a tweet about my Rusty Rocks,
like hyping it up big time.
Hyped it up, like put some pressure on me.
But isn't that the way you like to excel? You being put in that situation, right?
I'm pretty good in the spotlight sometimes. Yeah.
The Padres are in town with the Braves, and a couple of things. That outing last night, that is not what you need when you are hovering around 500, playing a pretty bad Washington team, and you get a 3-inning, 7-run outing for A.J. Smith-Sharver. That bothered me last night, especially with the offense stepping up with seven runs.
Season starts tonight. 7.5 back. We're 24-25. We're at home. Padres are struggling a little bit, too. Let's take – we'll play them 4 games this weekend or 3?
3.
Let's take 2 or 3 this weekend. Let's let Ronald go yard once or twice. Matt Olson's on fire right now. I mean, he is absolutely striping it.
Yeah, he is.
Austin Riley is not. I'm tired of watching him with the bases loaded, freaking strike out. I love Austin Riley, but man, he is like career hitting 165, I think, with the bases loaded.
A couple of other quick things. We asked you about the favorite return from a star coming back from an injury. Somebody said Bob Horner had a couple of returns. I don't know. I wasn't here for that era. Nick Chubb is the one they're mentioning, right?
Yep.
Watching him come back.
I had a timeline. Somebody said Eric Dickerson. I didn't know that. I mean, I remember him.
Did he have a major?
He came back from SMU. He was suspended with Craig James.
He was with the Rams, and then he was, I don't know.
Colts. He went to the Colts.
Didn't he end up here, Eric Dickerson?
Yeah, for a little while. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man. The sport wrecks, the neck roll.
We got some running backs on the wrong side of their careers, man.
Yes, we did.
We certainly got that. Todd Gurley, God bless him. But he was done by the time he was here. He could score touchdowns. Eric Dickerson to Atlanta, not the right. There's nothing like.
I was probably pumped too. I was like, it's on. It's on.
It's like when Moses Malone ended up here, right?
Yes.
You thought. And no. Reggie Theus.
Reggie Theus gave us a couple good years.
Though. He did.
He did. Yep.
It's like watching Tony Dorsett for the Denver Broncos, right?
Or like Jordan playing for the Capitals, the Bullets at the end.
Who was?
Didn't Jordan play for the Bullets? For
the Wizards.
They were the Bullets then.
No, I think, I don't know.
They were the Bullets.
Were they the Bullets then?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how long they've been the Wizards. Yeah. Somebody can look that up. But there's something, too, about football, I think, worse than anything, because maybe, I don't know, the uniform and everything else, but late in their career running backs, right? I mean, we all know Jerry Rice. It was like, what was it, Denver, Oakland? Was there a Seattle? Like, you know, you just don't want to see that. Same thing with tailbacks. So. Yep. Yep. But the other side of it is, like you said, Ronald Acuna tonight.
Season starts.
Right? Ronald Acuna, who is the biggest star in Atlanta. I'm just trying to think. Who is the biggest star in Atlanta? You know, it's Trae Young. It's Ronald Acuna. It is, we'll see about Michael Penix. Not there yet. Bijan Robinson. I mean, these are the biggest names. I think the biggest jerseys in our city would be Bijan Robinson and Ronald Acuna.
It'd have to be Acuna.
Right?
Yep.
Those two guys. And Bijan yet to have his moment. Ronald Acuna, of course, having being an MVP and everything that comes with it and the joy of which he's going to go after it. We had Alex Anthopoulos on earlier, who wasn't sure he was going to play on Friday. So, indeed, they saw all they needed to in that road game. And he also mentioned how Ronald handled that situation with Brian Snitker and Jared Kelnick and the tweet that he took out. And I thought that was handled perfectly. Like, you know, we are all, you know, nobody is infallible. We all make mistakes. Ronald was emotional watching the Braves struggle, sends out a tweet, gets in front of the team. I think everybody in that clubhouse is going to be energized, especially his buddy Ozzie Albies, to get him going as well, right? And think about how he changes the lineup. Think about the pressure he puts on you, right?
Yep.
From minute one.
Just juice. He brings juice to the whole dugout, right? Team, crowd. Place will be electric.
I mean, must-see TV tonight,
when
right?
When he runs out in the bottom of the first to right field, or the top of the first, right, the place will be crazy.
But must-see TV. Yep. Padres have lost six in a row, so we'll see how that plays itself out as well. A couple other quick notes we mentioned earlier. Get ready. The days of Boise State getting a bye and Arizona State ended in 1 year. You ain't going to be no more Mountain West byes.
No.
Not when you know, the Alabamas and Tennessees are playing first weekend and Boise State sitting at home. That will not happen.
Nope.
If you had not heard, college football playoff will now be seeded 1 through 12, which means the big boys will be most likely to get those byes.
Correct.
And let the lesser then get a home game. We said it earlier. I love the idea that Indiana would have played Boise State, and for the Indiana fans, you had a home game. You would have got to go to the next game before you get creamed. Like, that's a better format than what happened last year with some really bad games early on. So that's big news. What else is big news? Rusty Rocks. I've never given you for like 6 minutes. I mean, you have the stage.
Well, before we get into this, I need a second.
Uh-oh.
I just got a text. Somebody had said my comment, and I was pretty good in the spotlight. Unless I'm shooting free throws.
You said what?
I just got a text, a little quote I said, well, I guess I'm pretty good in the spotlight, and that kind of got some humor. But unless I'm shooting free throws. Huh. All right. So Rusty Rocks, steak, you always say, man, you know some people. Like, how do you know all these people? Sometimes I dig down deep in my connections.
Yes.
I had to dig deep into my connections. I had to get Miss Sandra, the queen of Atlanta radio, involved. She talked to some people who I needed to talk to. Class of 2025, graduation class this year. Our favorite class of 2025 graduate is Miss Nola Shapiro.
Oh, wow.
Rusty Rocks is dedicated to her today.
Wow. Sophie, what do you think about that? Is that too much love for Nola?
Did I get a Rusty Rocks when I graduated high school?
I'm saving yours for Georgia. Yeah.
Georgia.
It's going to be a whole hour.
Damn good dogs.
So now, I had to get a mixture of kind of what the word on the street is, who Nola listens to, who she likes, birthday party themes. I dug deep on this.
So this is my oldest high school graduate, and Rusty was kind enough to do, honor of Nola, top five.
What all she does, the dancing and the Pace Academy stuff, she deserves a damn Rusty Rocks.
Okay.
So number five. You got to rate me on this, Sophie. Number five.
I'm very curious
number
as to where this is
five.
Going.
Got some neon eyes, Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
On her playlist.
Yeah,
I was
definitely
told,
definitely on her playlist.
On her playlist. Don't play number four yet, because I got to explain this title here to this song. Word on the street is she had a famous birthday theme, Shakira themed birthday party one time.
Yeah. She was obsessed with Shakira when she was a little girl.
So,
right?
Number four, some Shakira. How many times did she dance around y'all's house? Probably at 9, 10, 11
I just
years
like
old.
This song regardless. And for people in their car, Rusty's always going to get songs that get you going as well.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Remember the famous moment with J-Lo and Shakira at Super Bowl trying to outdo each other?
Oh, yeah.
Someday we'll know what the real, vibe was.
Like me, you on a pickleball court trying to see which one's going to last?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were battling. So I hear she might be a little Swifty. So number three.
Absolutely, she's a Swifty.
Number three is definitely on Nola's playlist. It's Back to December.
Which song is this, Soph?
It's
early?
It's called Back to December.
Back to what?
Back to December. You've probably heard this in the car so many times.
Yeah, you're probably on the phone, but this is playing in your car.
Early? Is this early, Taylor?
Yeah, this is
very
early.
This is
her Speak Now album.
This is
Speaking Out, okay.
Now, this is what I knew Nola, she's in my wheelhouse. Word on the street is she went to Jazz Fest in New Orleans and saw Stevie Nicks
2 years ago, yep.
It's all Fleetwood Mac. Number two, one of my all-time favorites. Little Dreams.
This is what's amazing about Stevie Nicks is how much young people dig Stevie Nicks, right?
Yep.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely. Fleetwood Mac, for sure.
Huh?
So
definitely.
Fleetwood Mac, how many times you play the...
A lot, all the time. Almost every day, probably.
The Rumors album?
Yeah, probably every day, I think I put it on.
So of all the albums from the 70s, why is that one?
I don't know. I don't know why, but that one, there was that show. There's a lot of, like, drama. Everyone's so interested in, like, their love story.
There's also a girl that lip-synced this that's now in Nashville that got, like, 10 million views a couple years ago. And, like, she reintroduced TikTok to this song. I'll have to go back and find that girl.
Well, and there was that Cranberry, Cranberry thing.
So that was the two, the guy that did the surfboard, like, the going down in L.A.
You always talk about... You know, the love triangle going on stage when she finally sings that.
When she sings Silver Springs to him and she's screaming at him across the stage.
That
poor it's
old,
iconic.
That poor old boy.
Yeah. That moment.
Yeah, you see his hair and see how old he looks and how rough. Yeah, he'd been through it.
Yeah.
So a lot of songs. Okay, I'm going to go number one. Hold on a second before we play number one, because this was, I had to go round and around. Couldn't really, my sources kind of led me in so many different directions. I almost went with some Zach Brown, which I've heard was a all
it's a family deal.
It's an easy
the five
one,
of us
easy
yeah.
one. Kind of went with the text in this little group chain as hints. I went with some Billy Joel. That's Nola.
Nola on my my shoulders at a Billy Joel concert, and the screen came on us. That was her claim to fame, and that's when Sophie brought a book to the Billy Joel concert. Has Sandra ever told you that?
No.
What was going on that night?
Nolan Dad got on the big screen. I was sitting in the. I think I brought Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I was sitting there. He was like singing. They're all like standing. I'm sitting in my chair. I was reading like a Harry Potter book, and that's like probably like the not the first time that it happened.
Oh yeah. Man.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, listen, congratulations, Miss Nola.
I know you probably delayed it a week.
I did delay. I had to come in with a last minute deal last week. I can't remember what we did, but I saved it.
Well,
and it worked out better with Sophie being here. So I had to get a real. How do you rate it?
I definitely say that was a really good ending with the Billy Joel was definitely like a nail in the coffin.
All right.
Hey, in 2 years you get one from Rusty.
She's going to get.
I expect mine to be.
She'll get an entire hour.
Damn good dog, right?
We'll do it from.
We
Athens
should dedicate the whole show to me.
We'll do
honestly,
it.
When I graduate.
We'll do it in Athens.
Do it at my graduation ceremony. Out of Samford.
Which I heard was awesome this year, as always. Samford.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
They just do an unbelievable job at Georgia. Hey, we come back. We'll play Byer. We also got lots more on what's happening this weekend. Get you ready for Andy and Randy in a busy day, Memorial Day, coming up. Sports Radio 92.9. Good stuff.
Man, that was
sweet. Sports Radio's number one station is 92.9 The Game. Rusty Manziel with us. Sophie Shapiro sitting in watching, but she gets to play by herself. Your lovely daughter Kaylee working. Is she in this building?
I think so. I guess I'm in trouble too with her. She didn't get a Rusty Rocks when she graduated, so everybody's in the doghouse.
Did she say that? Nola got a Rusty Rocks top five Nola songs. I got a good three strikes that relates to that as well. But what's the conversation at Georgia? We had Josh Brooks. It's been a great week. We had Billy O'Brien, Alex Anthopoulos. Josh Brooks has been on this week as well. And
kind of the big news for Sophie, too. This might interest you. He announced yesterday they are most likely going to have a concert in Sanford Stadium next April.
Oh, my, that's awesome. I will be there. Absolutely.
So they haven't done a lot in there, right?
So it was the Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean was the last one.
Oh, my God.
How many years ago was that?
12, 13. Luke Bryan.
Bring him back.
So
bring
Luke Bryan's
back.
Stage was on this end. He would play, and then Jason Aldean was on the open.
Oh, wow.
I played back.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What else is cool is Georgia Athletics. The softball matchup with Florida. That's all over
17 minutes on ESPN2 now that I'm counting.
ESPN2.
About to come on.
Two out of three. Dude, you want to talk about two powerhouse athletic programs that have been – virtually linked against each other for years.
I watch it. Bo watches it. Bo, who's the pitcher from Texas Tech? Is it Nadia? I can't remember her name. But she basically opened. She basically yesterday came out and said, yes, I'm getting paid $1.1 million. She was the number one player last year. She came out of the portal from Stanford. She's a pitcher. She can hit. And she came out yesterday and said, yeah, I'm making $1.1 million. Yeah, that's what I'm getting paid.
So Georgia tries to continue their season. Georgia get ready to host a regional
in baseball
with three other teams. None of them will be from the SEC, I would not imagine. They don't have to start playing each other. They will eventually. For the super regional, right?
Yep.
And by the way, should give out love to Danny Hall and Georgia Tech. They are into the semifinals of the ACC tourney. Listen, they've already done what they need to do. They'll host a regional. If they win the ACC tournament, they could host a super regional.
Could be close.
To get to Omaha. They had seven home runs last night. But to talk about Georgia athletics, it's just been an unbelievable run for Georgia. So that's just
– Girls tennis just won the national championship last weekend. They didn't lose a point. So not a point.
He told me they lost 1 point to Duke. I said the same thing. One match against Duke was the only time. I know they said in the paper, and they must have got it wrong, because I read the same thing. And they rolled against Texas A&M, who was the number two team or number one team, winning track and field. Listen, this is what I was saying to Sandra, Rusty. You know this better than anybody, because you talk to so many parents. Now, you're mostly talking to them about football, right? And you oftentimes have to explain to somebody they're not an SEC player, or they're certainly not a Georgia player. If you get a phone call or a letter, if you're in swimming, track and field, softball, baseball, golf, football, any of those, and it's a coach from the University of Georgia, you are basically the best in America at what you do. I mean, think about where you have – think of every one of those sports.
Yeah, your upper level.
The highest level. No, I'm saying you're a top 50 player in the country, right?
Yep.
If Georgia calls you. I mean, we don't have to tell you what the swimming program history is, what the tennis program history is, what the gymnastics, granted, hasn't been the same as when, you know, they were winning all the national titles. But now what goes on, imagine in the athletes when you go to Georgia that you're spending time with Olympians, right? These are the people that go on to win gold medals in the Olympics. They're part of the training there, right?
Yep.
This is just an elite group of athletes. Florida has the same, you know, Florida, you know, was where Georgia was trying to get overall for years, right? The Gators are competing for
everything. I mean, basketball, baseball, girls softball.
Well, look at basketball now. Now they got another national title, right?
Balling.
This is a – I'm all over it. You got your girl you coached, those of you
Lindy,
don't know.
Yeah, Lindy Ray. She's
still batting leadoff or not?
They got her in a two-hole. I love her there. I about text her last week between innings if she wasn't going to swing it. I told Bo, me and Bo text during the games, I'm like, if she don't swing at this first, because she struck out the first two times she faced this girl, and both times she threw her two good pitches down the middle, and then she had to fight off and battle, and she had to hit a pitch she didn't want to. When it mattered, she came up, the first pitch she hit, she stroked it.
To win the regional.
Tie game, and to send an extra inning. Yep.
All right, here's our three strikes questions. The song or artist that makes you think of family time. The song or artist, our family, a lot of Zac Brown, a lot of Billy Joel over the years. The song or artist that you think of family time. The baseball player that was a joy to watch live. Ronald Acuna tonight is one of those players, Willie Mays-esque, but who's a baseball player that was a joy to watch live. And your favorite body of water to vacation. Pool, lake, beach. You may say Vegas, you know, you know, Cabana at the Wynn Hotel. You can tell us Lake Hartwell in the year high. You can tell us 30A or Panama City or Orange Beach or Cape Cod. Like Billy O'Brien and I, we grew up, we went to Harwich. We had a beach house in Harwich. So give us your favorite body of water to vacation. Pool, lake, beach, where is it? The song or artist that makes you think of family time. The baseball player that was a joy to watch live, and your favorite body of water to vacation on a Memorial Day, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We were hoping to have both the girls in, Kaylee and Sophie, but Sophie, she's got a real job, so you get to play along. I was going to write one for both of you, right?
I know, but I'm here, and that's all that matters.
Oh, that's right.
Let's... Show respect to your elder because she has a hell of a career going. We ready to play buy or sell here?
Let's do it.
All right. Rusty, Georgia goes 2-1 in their three big home games this year. Georgia goes 2-1 in their three big home games. Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas. That? There's one loss coming. You don't know which one. No, I'm not asking you, but
I'll buy that, yep.
Sophie, they go 2-1 in their three big games this year.
Buy or sell. I want to sell. Like, I don't want to lose a home game. We got to keep the streak going.
Go with your heart. Go with your heart.
Don't want to lose a home game.
We haven't lost a home game in the 2020s.
So 2019, they lost to South Carolina. Jake Fromm.
It's been like 45 games or something.
Good stuff. Get in tight on that microphone, though, ma'am. I've been trying to tell you. Don't make – all right? Right on top of it. The most important person at the cookout is the bartender, not the chef. Buy or sell, Sophie?
I'm going to buy that since I'm usually the bartender.
Yeah, well – you're not even okay. Wow. What are you exactly trying?
I gotta make them for you.
You like to make Marg? What do you like to make?
Like, I like a frozen Marg.
Frozen Marg.
Skinny.
Yeah, I like a skinny frozen Marg.
No doubt.
Buyer, sell, bartender more important than the chef.
Sell. I mean,
the chef is critical.
It's all about the meat.
Yeah. The best restaurant in Athens, Rusty, is the Last Resort. Buyer, sell the best restaurant. What's your?
It's hard to beat Chuck's to me.
Chuck's is your mojo?
I like it.
Yeah.
I love Last Resort, but you give me a choice, I'm going with Chuck's.
Buy or sell Last Resort at the best restaurant in Athens?
No, I sell. I'm with him on this one. I would prefer Chuck's.
What else?
I really like Marker 7.
Yeah.
Marker 7.
And, yeah,
that's
good.
My favorite.
Yep.
All right.
Five Bar.
Five Bar is so good.
Yep.
The new Morgan Wallen album is disappointing. The new Morgan Wallen album is disappointing. Buy or sell?
No, I sell. Nothing he puts out is disappointing.
He can't do wrong?
He can
How
never.
Many songs on this new album? 30,
There's 37.
37?
Have you heard it yet?
I haven't heard enough yet.
All right.
But I will say this. I agree with her. This guy writes his own music. Ultra talented.
Hey, by the way, calls for three strikes. 404-726-0929. Smoke and Joel, take your call, or Bo, whatever it is. Buy or sell, baked beans is a solid side dish. Baked beans, solid. Buy or sell.
Yeah, buy.
You're down with it.
Love them.
Where's the great baked beans in town? Anyone?
It was that barbecue place by the house that's closed now.
Oh, yeah, right on
the Russell
Road.
Greater Good.
Especially
greater
when
good.
You get a little ground beef in there.
Oh, okay. Yep. Now we're cooking with gas.
Yes. Yep.
Buy or sell.
Literally.
Rusty, most dads have a favorite kid. Buy or sell. Most dads have a favorite kid.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, we're going to buy it, huh?
I mean, when my
Which Shapiro kid would you say that it is?
No. I'm not asking about
it. I don't want to make the other two mad.
Buy or sell, you think most dads have a favorite kid?
I would say you have. Yeah,
buy or sell, Sophie. Most,
buy, absolutely.
Yep.
You think when there's three, four kids that dad has a favorite?
Yes.
I mean,
and you think there's one in our house?
I would say so.
What do you think the other two would say?
I think they would agree.
Buy or sell, Truist Park is the best vibe, no matter how good or bad the Braves are.
Buy. I'll be there with my friends all the time.
Buy.
What do you love most about that battery setting?
It's just so fun. There's so many restaurants. There's so much you can do and just hang out. And it's so cheap to get in.
Okay, to the games, you mean?
Yeah.
All right, buy or sell, don't matter.
Yeah, it's a total package. Doesn't matter what age your kid is. There's something to do for everybody.
Buy or sell, Rusty, Taco Bell is underrated. Taco Bell is underrated. Buy or sell?
You know what? I'll buy that. You know what's sneaky good there is their little chicken quesadilla.
Okay.
Sneaky good.
That's what I said. Absolutely buy. Absolutely buy.
What is the obsession? Oh, look at Bo. Bo, you got an opinion on that?
So Olivia and I have eaten Taco Bell twice in the last, like, 5 days.
Yes.
Yeah. I wish we have softball.
They're open late.
It's also consistent.
The food keeps decent, and they're very consistent.
In different locations, you're consistent.
That's your mojo, huh? Finally, buy or sell Jimmy Buffett, the most reliable Memorial Day mix. Jimmy Buffett Memorial Day weekend is the most reliable mix there is. Buy or sell, Soph?
I would buy.
I will buy because you don't have to touch the music. You turn it on. You don't have to touch the phone. You don't do anything.
Jimmy Buffett
station. Just let it play. Just let it play. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a one of his underrated, one particular harbor. There'll be a lot of Buffett playing this weekend throughout all the lakes and beaches and whatnot.
There's some
right?
people right now like, go ahead and get in there. Open the cooler.
That was the wildest day of the year when I was in the 20s, me and my buddies. When Buffett would roll through New England and play three nights.
Were you in Atlanta when he played at Georgia Tech on Grant Field?
I didn't go to that. How was that, dude? That was
just
a lot of hotel rooms that night, right? A lot of Ubers.
A lot of seniors 18 years later.
Yeah. All right. That's Buy or Sell with Sophie and Rusty. Thank you. Kids, 404-726-0929. 2-9. We ready to take some calls?
State, got to mention one thing. Hunter Smith, national champion from North Georgia. He won the golf individual national championships this week. Good friends of mine's nephew. So congratulations, Hunter Smith. He wins the national championship, Division I golf from North Georgia and Dahlonega.
Wow. Hey, the 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. All right, DJ in Dallas. Hey, DJ, the song or artist that makes you think of family time?
Man, what's going on? Frankie Beverly and Mays.
The baseball player that was a joy to watch live.
Recently, Ozuna, when he's hitting them like that, man, he gets it's exciting. I like
your favorite body of water to vacation at?
Lake Wise in Alabama, right across the state line.
I've been there, Center, Cedar Bluff, Alabama.
Mac in Stonecrest. Hey, Mac, the song or artist that makes you think of family time?
House is not a home, Dion Warwick version.
The baseball player that was a joy to watch live.
Ricky Henderson.
Yes, sir. Damn
your,
good one.
Your favorite body of water to vacation?
We used to take my family to the Outer Banks of North Carolina time.
That's a great place.
10 years ago. Yes. Hey,
final word, Brad and Phil Ricca, the song or artist that makes you think of family time.
Uncle Cracker.
The baseball player that was a joy to watch live.
Chipper Jones, baby.
Your favorite body of water to vacation?
I'm going to say Lake Altoona. I was born and raised going to that lake, so that was the best lake of my life. But hey, Rusty, nice hearing from you, brother. Love the show. Love you, Steak. See y'all.
Thank you so much. Hey, you had something for me?
John Foy game of the night.
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
I got the Atlanta Braves and the Padres.
Yeah, Ronald Acuna. Also, 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing. Thank you, Bo. Have a great weekend. Also, Smoking Joe, Rusty Manziel, Sophie, I'll see you, I don't know, all weekend, right? Nice to have you come by.
Thank you for having
me. I'm living through you this summer. I'm just telling you. Make
I'll post a lot. Everyone
make Uncle Rusty proud.
All right. Andy and Randy up next. Bye.